Tell me some more about your fishing experiences.
Fished up in Bristol Bay in 1948-1949, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. and just after I left the fishery, they passed a law that permitted them to use power, and so in 1950, I think it was a year after I left, or 1951, they started to put power in the boats. And
what was the reason for not letting them use?
Here's a picture. It's conservation.
Oh.
Because the water is real muddy, mm-hmm. like it is in Cook Inlet,
mm-hmm.
and
silty.
Silty.
Shallow.
And if they permitted the power, they were afraid that the boats would just wipe out the fishery. And of course, mm-hmm. you've probably read about the record fishery they've had the last couple of years, so they've managed to sustain their yield very well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very valuable fishery still.
Mm-hmm.
But the first attempt at power, they put a outboard on one of those sailboats, and that didn't work very well. The outboard motor was added without success, and so then they start building little boats specifically for Bristol Bay, and they bring them up on a big ship.
Would the ship be the tender eventually, or the?
No, that was a freighter that it would bring the supplies up and mm-hmm. then take the pack back down in the fall,
mm-hmm.
because they didn't have any place to store the boats. So the canneries had their own place there, but these were brand new, and so they were built in Seattle. And the original boats that I fished in were called the Columbia River boats, because they originated on the Columbia River. That's the kind of boats that they fished in on the Columbia River years in the 30s.
Mm-hmm. They're mostly double enders and
double enders, right.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Both ends are pointed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so did the power, adding power to the fishery, did it make for smaller catches because there were more boats, or they were faster and they filled? Did they have quotas in those days? No, that's too
no far. They didn't have quotas. Just whatever the cannery could process is what they allowed them to catch, and I can't recall ever the canneries being so full up that they wouldn't take fish.
And so did the fishery change much with the advent of power?
Oh, very much. It has changed tremendously, because the original boats were just modifications of the little 32-footers, and now they're built so that, in fact, some of the boats are built that they're larger than 32 feet, but they can take the bow off of them, a detachable bow, and they're very, very wide, so that they've got all kinds of room, and they have power rollers. Like mm-hmm. when I was fishing, you pulled the net over the stern roller by hand. Mm-hmm. Now they have power rollers that, and they have big drums that those nets go on, so they just haul them up like that. Everything's by power nowadays, and it's much easier.
That's probably what Bristol Bay still is, a lucrative fishing ground.
Very.
The permits out there are probably very expensive, worthwhile.
Right. Oh, yes. I think the last that I heard, something like $250,000 for a permit.
Wow. That's a lot. That could be somebody's whole season.
That's right. The boats are probably, the modern boats probably sell for around $250,000. They have all kinds of electronic gear on them, and they're very comfortable quarters that can live right on them.
During that time here in Kodiak, did they have a seine fishery?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And has that always been in existence since they've had power boats?
Yes, they had little seiners. When I was a kid, the seiners were probably about 34 feet long. And as things have progressed, they have what they call the limit is
right.
58 foot. So they have 58 foot. A lot of the boats are 58 foot limit seiners, and
mm-hmm.
They're worth $750,000.
Right now.
Right, and they have big power skips to And their nets are much bigger because they seine off of the capes around the island. And
they didn't used to do that in the old days?
No, the boats were too small to carry nets, except, you know, they were very shallow and they fished in the bays. And of course, all the canneries, they had traps, fish traps around the island, and the fish traps were in the best spots.
The cannery had the fish traps?
Oh, yes, they owned them, they built them, and I didn't mention that to you, but I started off, my first job away from home was a trap watchman in Molina Bay on the Fog Neck Island when I was 17 years old. And I got this job with the cannery over in Uganic, and I spent the summer out there. And this trap was built on pilings about 30 feet above the water, and it has what they call a lead that goes into the shore that's 1,500 feet long with a, like, chicken wire. And when the fish hit that and they follow it up to the main trap, and then they go into what they call the heart of the trap, and then they're trapped. And then a salmon tender comes along and used to purse the heart up, and then they brail the fish out into the hold of a tender.
I was going to ask you, how long did they use traps? Were they from the turn of the century?
Well, they were up like, I think, from the turn of the century up until statehood. They were up on 1959, I think.
They caught a tremendous amount of fish.
Oh, yes.
And is that why they were outlawed?
Yes, they were very, very efficient, and the canneries didn't have to rely on the fishermen. They got most of the fish in their traps.
So they were competing with the fishermen.
Yes,
the fish
they
traps.
Were. Right.
Well, thank you very much. It was interesting talking to you, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.